Today, we'll talk about the most popular Disney World promotion of all time, free dining. That's coming up on this episode 4 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk Disney World planning strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert, the founder, creator of WDWPrepSchool.com. This episode is being brought to you by a pot of coffee from IHOP, one of my very favorite things on the whole planet, but it's got me a little hopped up as I record this. But that's okay. Lots of energy translates well through audio. So as I mentioned in the intro, we're going to talk about free dining. It is by far the topic I hear the most about. I have kind of a love-hate relationship with the phrase free dining because I hear a lot of the same questions over and over again. Sometimes I think people get too excited about it, but I've actually experienced it, used it, and it was a lot of fun. So I can see why people like it so much. But we'll dive into that in just a minute. I wanted to take 1 second before that to just talk about how the podcast is going. This is the 4th episode, and we're kind of getting on a roll, got a momentum going here. I've gotten lots of positive feedback, which I really love. It's hard to kind of just sit here by myself and say things and not know how other people are going to respond. So it's nice to have it out there and have people's reactions and feedback. The podcast is available in a few different places. You can listen to it on iTunes. And you can subscribe there, and I would love it if you would also leave reviews because that helps other people find it when they're searching for Disney World information. The podcasts with more reviews and positive ratings tend to float to the top, although you can leave a review that's, you know, positive or negative, whatever, as long as it's honest. But I do encourage people to leave reviews there. It helps out a lot. To get to the iTunes listing, the quickest way is by going to wdwprepschool.com/iTunes, and that will take you right to where you need to go to subscribe. You can also subscribe or listen, I guess, in Stitcher. Stitcher is an app that you can download, and you can always listen to the most recent episode of any podcast there. And to get to that, you can go to wdwprepschool.com/Stitcher, and that'll take you right to the Stitcher listing as well. And thirdly, you can listen right on the site. The podcast episode post that I create, which is always something I mention at the end of the episode so you can get show notes. It also has a player embedded right there within the show notes page, and you can listen right there and download the MP3. So those three different ways, anything will work, and I hope that is helpful as you try to kind of track down the easiest way to listen for you. So let me answer one question that I keep getting. And I thought it'd be a good chance here to address it because obviously it's on a lot of people's minds. The question I keep getting is, my child is tall. Can I still use the child swap feature on rides? And let me go back a step just to kind of explain where that question comes from. At Disney World, most of the rides that have a height requirement will allow parents to do a child swap thing where one parent can ride while the other parent stays with the child that doesn't want to ride, and then they can switch so that the child who is too afraid to ride or too short to ride can stay with somebody while the other person goes. I don't know if that makes sense. Okay. So, in the past, the height requirement seemed to be kind of a prerequisite for getting that child swap or rider switch pass. But I just looked it up and Disney actually has changed their policy, I think. And what their website says is that if you are not tall enough or you simply don't want to ride. So for instance, Expedition Everest has a relatively low height requirement. And so a lot of 4 and 5 year olds actually can ride it, although I wouldn't recommend it because it's so intense. So even a 5 year old that is tall enough to ride might be scared, and rightly so. And so the parents can swap on that, and they can ride while somebody else waits with the child. Now, the other thing that has changed is that the second group that rides, it could be one person or more than one. It used to be up to 3 people could be in that second group, and now it appears that it can only be 2 people. And so that is something that has changed. One example that I think works really well, if you have a family of 4, mom, dad, older child, younger child, and the younger child doesn't want to ride, but the older child does, mom can go with older child. Then when they get done, dad can go with older child, because up to two people can go. And that way somebody is always with the younger child, and the older child actually gets to ride twice. So it's really nice for them to have that perk. Anyway, so I hope that clears it up about who can use it. And even if you have an older child, you can take advantage of it. Okay, so let's dive into the main topic, which is free dining. Now, let's kind of do an overview of free dining, and then we'll kind of dive into the specifics of it and who can get it and how you can get it and if I recommend it and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so let's do to talk about free dining, we have to first talk about the dining plan. So the dining plan is something you can add on to a Disney package. You book your hotel room and you buy tickets, and then you can optionally add on this Disney dining plan. And when you do that, you have credits to use to pay for your meals. And so what free dining is that dining plan becomes free. So you pay for your hotel and you pay for your tickets, but the food is free and you use credits to pay for everything. Now, this is obviously very attractive because food is a huge expense, whether you're at home or vacationing. And so a lot of people love it, and people get really kind of crazy over free dining. Is free dining going to be available for my dates? Now, the dates when it is offered, it's usually in the fall. So I think it started in 2009. It may be before that, but I don't have any historical data to refer to. But at least since 2009, it has been offered as a fall promotion. Now, those dates have varied a little bit on what's considered fall. It has often been available late August through mid-December, with some blackout dates in the middle, particularly around Thanksgiving. And so you could always pretty much count on it being available during those dates if you planned a trip in the fall. It has also been available twice at the beginning of the year, like January to March. And one time it was available at the end of May to the beginning of June. And that's actually when I used it, because we go that time of year a lot. So I generally consider it a fall promotion because it has happened every single fall for the last several years. Occasionally it will be available at other times of year, but I wouldn't necessarily count on it if I was planning a trip, for instance, in February. So that's when it's offered, and people traveling in July should really probably not ask if it's been announced for their dates, because there's very little chance it's ever going to be. Now, I think the thing that bothers me the most about free dining, and this leads me into my next point, is about who should is that I don't think everybody should use it. A lot of people could. A lot of people should. But not everybody should. And this is why. There are discounts available, room discounts available, usually at the same time as free dining. And a lot of times those discounts are 30% off of a hotel rate. If you're staying at a deluxe, and let's say you're spending $400 a night or more, a 30% off discount saves you $120 a day, a night. And you'll have to do the math, but a lot of times that's worth more than if you were to use free dining. And it depends on how many people are in your family and how many adults and all that kind of stuff. But it's worth looking at. And so I think who should use it? Anybody would really benefit from it because it saves a lot of money. But people staying at deluxes should do the math and compare the room discount to the free dining and see which one is better. So that's just one of my beefs, that everybody, people can pay $400, $500, $600 a night, but then they get so excited about, some free food. But you need to check into that for sure. And I should also mention about free dining that if you get free dining, that when you book a value resort, you get a quick service dining plan for free. When you book a moderate or a deluxe, you get the basic dining plan for free. Quick service dining plan means you get two quick service meals per day, and the regular one means that you get one table service, one quick service per day. So it's what you get free at the moderate and deluxe level is worth more than what you get at the value level. Okay, so let me go over some tips I have for people who are hoping for free dining or who are going to use free dining. One is that if you arrive by the last day of a promotion, you can usually use it throughout your whole trip. So let me give you an example. So I've mentioned that this is typically a fall promotion, but they don't normally say, okay, this is good from August 18th to December 18th. It's never like a solid 3-month block. It's usually segments within that time frame. So they'll say, okay, you can use free dining from September 2nd to September 21st, and then from October 3rd to October 19th, right? It's like segments of the months in there. But if you check in by the last day of that time frame, you can usually use it your whole trip. And what I like about that is that you aren't going to have as many other people who are using free dining while you're there, because they have a lot of them have booked their trip in between free dining. And what's great about that is that the restaurants are really full during free dining, and so you won't have quite as much competition for your reservations. That leads me into my next tip, which is you absolutely have to book all your table service meals way in advance if you're going during a free dining period. And that's because there's so many people that have gotten their table service meals for free that you're in a lot of competition for those meals. And so you want to have those booked ahead of time. Now, this leads me into point 3, and that is to book your hotel and dining reservations before free dining is announced, so that you have those in place. And if it's announced, then you already have your dining reservations made and you don't have to worry about competing with all the new bookings who are trying to kind of scurry and get their stuff booked. So, for instance, in 2013, the free dining announcement wasn't made too far before the period, like a couple months before the free dining period that it was good for. And so people that had booked 6 months in advance can feel secure in having their dining reservations made, while people that waited until it was announced to book are going to have a harder time finding it. Now, one thing that can be super frustrating for people is that when you book it ahead of time, let's say you book your dining reservation for beginning of October, your Disney World package for the beginning of October, and then free dining is announced in August, you have to call right away, just like if you were a new reservation, because there's only so many rooms that are allowed to use the promotion. So even though you have a room booked, that doesn't mean if you call, 2 weeks after the promotion's been announced, that that's still going to be available for you, even though you've got the room and you've already paid for it or whatever. It doesn't matter. They only have so many rooms at every resort that is allowed to use free dining, and you need to call right when it's announced, just like everybody else does. So you can book it ahead of time, but make sure you get on the phone to have free dining applied as soon as it's announced. You should have all your dining reservations made way in advance, but you need to have that discount applied right away. Two more things I want to mention real quick is that the best deal for free dining tends to be people who stay at a moderate resort, because as you remember what I mentioned earlier, the moderate resorts get the better dining plan. So if you stay at a moderate resort, you can get the better dining plan while not paying the rates of a deluxe. So staying at a moderate is my recommendation. And my final tip is to arrive before. If you arrive before free dining, you will not be able to get free dining. If you arrive, for instance, if your trip starts before free dining and continues through the free dining period, you will not be able to get free dining unless you book 2 separate reservations, one before free dining and one during free dining. So that's just something to keep in mind. Although you can arrive on the last day of the free dining period and have it for your whole trip, the same does not apply if you arrive before. You will have to have a split reservation. So that's something to keep in mind. So I hope that makes sense. It's definitely a hot topic, and it's really fun to kind of have an all-inclusive feel when you're on vacation. Whether you pay for free dining or not, you definitely get an all-inclusive feel on your vacation when you can pay for food with credits and not have to worry about the check every day, because that bill can really, really add up when you are eating in restaurants every day for a week or more. So that wraps up free dining. I wanted to include a quick tip. This is again from Dave at yourfirstvisit.net. And he has a tip today about for people who are staying at Art of Animation. And this is actually a question that I have gotten many times, and Dave has a good answer for where you should request to stay if you're at Art of Animation.
Hey, Shannon. It's Dave from yourfirstvisit.net calling from my room at Disney's Art of Animation Resort in the Cars section with a tip on where to ask for your room to be located if you're staying at Art of Animation. Whether you're in the Little Mermaid section, the Lion King section, the Finding Nemo section, or the Cars section, what you want to ask for is an upper floor room with a lake view. A couple of reasons for that. The lake view speaks for itself. It's just a beautiful view of Hourglass Lake outside of your windows. But a lake view also means you won't have a swimming pool view, and the swimming pools can get very loud. So the lake keeps you away from that. Upper floor is also for noise. People create a lot of noise in the corridors of these buildings, and the higher up you are, the less likely you will be on the first floor. And the first floor is by far where that you'll find the worst corridor noise. So Art of Animation, you want a lake view with an upper floor room, and you'll have a great trip. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave. That's a really good tip for people staying at Art of Animation. And I think that's actually a really good general tip for a lot of people staying on site at Disney World, because the swimming pools create a lot of noise. And if there are rooms that are kind of, that face the pool, then they are going to be the recipients of a lot of that noise. So away from the swimming pools is a good general rule if you're trying to avoid noise. And it's really nice to know that you have that view option that Dave mentioned. I wasn't aware of that, so that's a good tip. I think that about wraps up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information, including show notes about everything that I've talked about, you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode4. Until next time, I will see you on the site.